Good morning, everybody. We're here with Below the Radar News, and I've got a special guest with us this morning, Tim Roach with the Interface Financial Group of Belfast, Maine. And Tim, good morning. How are you doing?
I am doing just great. And beautiful day in Maine today. We should be getting a lot of tourists in soon.
It's almost that time, eh?
Yes, it is.
Well, great. Well, Tim, thanks for joining us this morning. We've got about 20 to 30 minutes to have a little discussion about a little bit about your background and how you came into the IFG franchise system and what's going on these days and maybe in the near future. Does that sound good to you?
That sounds just great.
Awesome. Well, so Tim, let's start out. Tell us a little bit about yourself what you're doing, where you are, how's life going, all that good stuff.
Well, I live up here in Maine with my wife. We were originally from New York. We moved up to Maine about 6 years ago. I recently turned 66. We're currently empty nesters. We have 2 children and 6 grandchildren. My son lives down in New York, and my daughter lives down in Texas, so we get to see each other mostly by email and by text messaging and things like that.
Yes, good old technology.
Yes.
So before we get into a little bit about your coming into the Interface Financial Group, what was your first life before IFG?
I was born in Brooklyn, New York, back in 1947. My family moved to Levittown, New York. And Levittown was one of the first bedroom communities or suburbs built after World War II for the soldiers coming home. My wife and I were high school sweethearts. And we were married after college. If you do the math, that was right during the Vietnam era. I went into the Air Force. It was the late 60s, early 70s. I became an instructor pilot, and I was stationed down in Georgia. That's where we had our 2 children. After the war, I left the Air Force. We settled back in New York. That's where we raised our family, and that's where we started our business careers. Both my wife and I have had very successful business careers. We talked about it for a number of years, but we decided that when I turned 60, we would try something new. We decided to retire from business, move to Maine. We moved to Maine about 6 years ago. And the idea was we would move to Maine, retire for a couple of months, get settled down, you know, get the house in order, and then we would go out and buy our own business. We'd been very successful in business. We'd been able to save money. We'd always wanted to do something by ourselves. And quite frankly, being 60 years old, you're just too young to retire, so you have to do something.
Okay.
We looked at several companies around Maine. We hired some brokers. We looked at several franchises. And about 5.5 years ago, we saw the Interface franchise. We did a lot of due diligence, and we bought a franchise.
All right. So what was your career in New York?
I was the CEO, president and CEO of a $50 million NASDAQ company. My wife had done several jobs, and I guess if I were to make an assumption on her part, her favorite job was working at Pfizer in New York City.
Ah, nice. And what industry was the company in?
Oh, the company I was the president of was a manufacturing company, high technology. Our customer base were the telecommunications companies, the large cable companies, the large telephone companies like Verizon, Bell Canada, Bell South, AT&T, cable companies like Comcast, Time Warner.
Okay. Very interesting. So you're from the high-tech world.
Yep. My background really is more marketing. I did have 10 years with a company where I was running operations, materials control, purchasing, and those type of thing. But I guess if I were to pick one thing that I like to do best, it's sales, get out, see customers, work with customers, work with your product development people, you know, bring new products to the marketplace. Operations was fun. I enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed working with the manufacturing people. but I think I enjoy the marketing side much more.
All right. Very good. So what was it? I know you talked about the fact that your wife and you had always wanted to move up to Maine. What I guess maybe can you talk a little bit more about the impetus of wanting to make that switch? Was it just you always wanted to switch things up? What was the driving force behind that move and that change?
Well, if you would consider the difference, the biggest difference between New York and Maine, New York has a lot of culture, a lot of restaurants, a lot of beaches. We loved a lot of things about the New York area.
Sure.
But New York was crowded. It had a lot of traffic. It had a lot of pollution. It has extremely high taxes. And quite frankly, I was getting tired of corporate America, working with the SEC issues that were going on back in the early 2000s, working with your accountants all the time. The job as president of a company used to be that you were the number one salesman in the company. By the early 2000s, with all the other issues that were going on, the scandals going on, you were spending more time writing annual reports and quarterly reports and quarterly audits and those type of things. It was time for a change for both of us. My wife was working at Pfizer, and it was a four-hour commute, 2 hours in, 2 hours out. So it was time for her to make a change. So we had vacationed a number of times up to Maine. A lot of people in the New York, the tri-state area, vacation in Maine. We decided this was a place we wanted to go. So from the high-stress environment of New York, we now live on a former dairy farm outside of Belfast. We've got a couple of ponies. We've got some geese. We've got ducks. Duck eggs for breakfast is one of the best breakfasts in the world, by the way.
Really?
And I have a big Great Dane, which I walk downtown. I never get in any traffic. It's a wonderful life up here. You do sacrifice some things when you come here, but quite frankly, we've found wonderful restaurants. We've gotten, to different theater groups. Our life has changed a little bit, but I don't think we've sacrificed a whole lot by moving up here.
That's great. That sounds great. Hopefully one day I'll be joining you. Well, so I know you said that you hired brokers and looked at several franchises. So can you talk a little bit about that process of maybe reviewing several franchise opportunities and what it was about the IFG franchise that really blended well with your likes and personality?
Well, I think one of the things that we decided when we moved to Maine and we wanted to own our own business, both of us had come from, business corporate backgrounds, so we didn't want to do retail. Living in the Belfast area, there's a lot of retail in this area. So the first thing we did when we hired a broker is we told them nothing retail. We did not want to own a restaurant. We didn't want to own, a bed and breakfast or anything like that. We wanted to do something from a business standpoint. So when we hired the brokers, we started looking at those types of businesses, manufacturing companies, things like that. We also looked at some of the business franchises. I think when you look at a business franchise, first of all, you have to look at the environment you're in, the whole business demographics.
Sure.
Maine is a very, very large state, but it's got a good number of businesses, and a lot of the businesses fit the interface model very, very well. We have a lot of companies that are doing $500,000 in sales, $1 million, $2 million. That's kind of the interface sweet spot. I have clients that'll do $10-12 million, but the vast majority of my clients are in that $1-2 million, $3 million range. That's what most of the companies are here in Maine. So when we started getting involved in looking at the interface product, the other thing that I think really attracted me is it's been in business over 40 years. You don't stay in business over 40 years unless you have a good product and you support your product well. If you don't have a good product, you're not supporting your product with your franchisees, you go out of business.
Right.
40-year track record is very impressive to me. The other thing was, I told you before, I love being in sales. But I don't like going door to door selling cosmetics. What I like to do is have a professional sale. When I was with this telecommunication manufacturing company, we were seeing top engineers at the telephone companies. We were seeing top marketing people, product management people, program managers, those type of things. So it was a professional sale. That's what Interface is. You go out, you see bankers. You go out, you see bankers. You see business owners. This Thursday, I'm going to a business trade show. At the business trade show, I'll be meeting accountants, lawyers. I'll be meeting commercial lenders from the banks. You meet professionals. That's the type of sale I like.
Right.
The other thing I really liked about Interface was, and I just think this goes back to its 40-year track record, it gives you a tremendous amount of marketing support, especially in the beginning when it's most important. I came from New York. I had no network up here in Maine. I didn't even know what the names of the banks were in Maine. I literally had to Google Banks of Maine to figure out who I should be calling on. I got a tremendous amount of support from the marketing group showing me how other successful franchisees have done things like that. The marketing collateral was extremely good. So all those reasons put together, it became kind of an easy decision for us. We really like the Interface model. And as time has proved over the last 5.5 years, it's been very successful for us.
That's great. That makes a whole lot of sense. Sounds like you're on the right track. Do you own the franchise with your wife?
Yes, we co-own the franchise.
So you all are in the business together?
Yes, and what makes my franchise, this franchise, so successful is I love the marketing and sales side. My wife has always been a back office person, so it was easy to say how we were going to set up Interface. I'm the one that goes out, I meet with the bankers, I meet with clients, I do those type of interviews. Tomorrow at this business trade show, I'll be manning our booth. I'm the one that goes to the chamber breakfasts. I'm the one that goes to the business after hours. So I do the marketing side of the company. My wife does the whole inside. By her doing that, I don't ever have to worry about funding a transaction. She funds the transaction. She does the rebates. She does the books. She keeps the accounting. She does the due diligence. She does the whole back office side. I do the whole outside part. So you have a Mr. Inside, Mrs. Outside type of scenario. And by doing that, it frees up a lot of my time. I can get out and I can see more customers. A lot of people ask me, what is the one criteria you need to make almost any franchise, whether it's Interface or anything else, successful? And one of the things you have to do is you have to like to go out and see the people. And I'm the type of person, I like to go out and see the people. My wife likes to do the back office work. So it's a very, very good partnership.
It's a good 1-2 punch, it sounds like.
Yes, it is.
Great. So how did it, for the both of you, how did it feel to make that transition? It seems like it was very rewarding, but, maybe if you could talk a little bit about that whole transition from big city life to moving to Maine, starting up your own business. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
I guess when I was running this telecommunications company, I traveled a lot, but my travel was go to the airport, get on an airplane and go to Dallas or go to Denver, or travel around the world. I still do a lot of travel, but I'm home every night. Now I hop in my Saab and I travel 2 hours to a customer. I'll travel 2.5 hours to see a banker. Tomorrow I go 1.5 hours to go to this business trade show. So it's still travel, but the nice part about this travel is you're home every night. And the nice part about this travel is it's a beautiful day on Tuesday. You just take the day off and play some golf. I enjoy this type of travel a whole lot more. The whole idea of going from a $50 million public company to owning your own company, first of all, you have to love the product, and I love the whole concept of Interface. It took a while to learn the Interface process, but once we learned it, we've been very successful. It doesn't mean it was easy. That first year, having no network at all, knowing no bankers at all, we had to work our butts off. You know, I had to build a referral network. We have a very strong referral network right now. As I mentioned, the first day I owned the Intervase franchise, I Googled Banks of Maine and figured out who they were, where they were, what the locations were, and I picked up the phone and started making phone calls.
There you go.
I got to say, though, and I know I'm repeating this, the marketing team over at Intervase was tremendously helpful during this period of time. And now I've got a successful network. It doesn't mean I can sit back and relax. I'm still out calling on my referral base. I'm still out meeting people. I still go to trade shows. I still do the after hours. I still do the chamber breakfasts. You know, once you build that network, that is your greatest asset inside of your company, is that referral network. Bankers are going to retire, though. New bankers are going to get hired. You got to get out there, and you got to meet those people. You have to get out there. I was told one time, the most successful salesman is the salesman that goes out and meets the people.
Yep, that makes sense. So that you mentioned, sorry, I lost my place. Would you say it was about a year that the transition? You were able to overcome the hurdles. And the growing pains of getting into the new business?
Yeah, probably the most challenging time for me was the first 6 months. And again, I'm a little bit different than other franchisees. Most franchisees, they buy the franchise, they've lived in the area for a while.
Right.
You know, they know some of the local bankers, they know some of the local accountants, they know some of the lawyers. So they can build off of that base. During my first 6 months, I was out there and I was meeting bankers for the first time.
Yeah.
One of the things I found to be very successful up here is some of the agencies. They are just like bankers, but they're we call them the agencies of Maine. Almost every large municipality has a group that will either lend money or guarantee. So if you have a municipality, in the state of Maine, you have an organization called the Financial Authority of Maine, FAME. I have found that getting out there and letting them know what the Intervase product is has been very helpful, because a lot of companies will go to these different agencies and they'll be looking for financing. You know, a lot of times these agencies are saying, your financials are not strong enough yet for us to lend you any money or guarantee a loan. But let me introduce you to Intervase Financial. They may be able to help. So when I talk about bankers, I talk about not only the bankers that you would expect in the community banks and the regional banks, but also the bankers right in some of the municipalities, right in some of the state agencies. But again, you have to build that network up. They're constantly changing. They're constantly turning over. You have to get out there. You got to meet the new people.
So that is pretty interesting. Can you talk a little bit more about these agencies and maybe take us through a case study, if you will, of a great interaction that you had by way of building up your network in these agencies, and maybe a type of company or a specific company that you were able to help, and how it all worked out?
Okay, without using any names, I have a very interesting one that I'm just, we're funding this company again today. But an agency gave me a call probably, I want to say, 8-10 months ago. They had a loan outstanding with a distributor. This is a company that distributed some paper plastic products. They were behind in payments, not only on their loan, but they were a little bit behind in payments to some of their suppliers. The bigger problem for this distributor was being behind with the suppliers. If the suppliers cut them off, they were out of business. If they were out of business, of course, the agency just would have lost the loan. More important to the agency, the people who had jobs in the local area would have lost their jobs. So I got the phone call. Just to give you the punchline first, 2 days later, we funded this company probably about, first funding was $40,000, $50,000. What we found was the company had done a nice turnaround. Their financials were starting to look stronger, but the working capital hadn't caught up, and they hadn't caught up with the suppliers. So what we did was we structured a transaction where I would buy an invoice, And the suppliers then, by this company getting the money up front, which is what Interface does when we purchase a invoice,
right.
They were able to pay their suppliers and start getting the supplier current. This has been 10 months now. This company that was on the brink of not only bankruptcy, but liquidation, really. If they didn't get supplies from their, if they didn't get product from their suppliers, they were out of business. 10 months later, they're financially strong. They've hired some new people. They've gotten new orders. They've gotten some new customers. And again, it's as a result of being able to accelerate their working capital, get them some cash in hand so they can go and pay that supplier. Now, this being a government agency, the government agency worked with them very, very well. They put them on interest only so they could save a little working capital that way, a little cash that way. And they've been on interest only. They'll probably, within the next month or two, be starting to pay off some of the principal on the loan also. So it's a real successful story. It's a success story for the our client themselves. I mean, this is a distributor that employs people in a local town. Those people kept their jobs. It was a success story for the agency. The agency was able to help protect local jobs. And also they protected their loan. And if you think about it, it was a success story for the supplier also. The supplier who was owed old receivables ended up getting some of those paid off over this last year. Plus, they kept the customer, their customer being the distributor. So everybody really won in this transaction. Suppliers won,
that's
certainly
great.
The client won, the bank won, and the employees won.
Right, right. Wow, that's really great. That is. Thank you for sharing that. That is very good insight. So, in terms of your clients and the local business and such, what would you say is your, the makeup of your clientele? You know, what industry or industries are you working with to try and grow these businesses or save jobs? And how much of it is growing versus saving jobs? If you could talk a little bit about that, that'd be great.
When you're a salesman, you always need to talk to your audience. If you're talking to an agency, you talk about protecting local jobs. If you're talking to a bank, you're talking about protecting their loan, growing the client so that the client can borrow more money from the bank. They have a larger deposit relationship. So it depends on who your referral source is that you're talking to. When I go to business trade shows, the commercial lenders from these government agencies are there, the bankers are there, accountants are there. Accountants are always looking for alternative sources of financing for their customers. So again, it depends on who you're talking to when you're making the sale to the referral source. Up here in Maine, jobs are very, very important. If you can come in, you can help a company, you can protect some local jobs in some of the remote local communities. People are going to be listening to you when you do your presentation. In some of the high population areas, there's a lot of competition. You talk about how accelerating working capital helps you against the competitors. You're able to get out there. You have some extra cash. Maybe you can negotiate some better pricing, better deliveries from your suppliers. I had a situation a couple of years ago where I had somebody that did snow removal. Now, snow removal is different than snow plowing. Snow removal is you go to the parking lot of one of the big chain stores, and you need to move the snow out of the parking lot. You just can't push it around. These invoices are very large. But if you think about it, the most important thing these guys got to get paid is they got to pay their oil bills. They got to pay and put the diesel in those trucks. So I got a call from a banker who had a big company that did snow removal, asked if we could help. We went in there. A couple of days later, we bought some of their receivables. That gave this company cash. They could go back to the oil company and say, every single week I'm going to be able to pay off these oil bills. As a result, they more than doubled their business in a month. And they did it in two ways. One, they just got more customers. But also, some of their competitors figured out, hey, these guys, they're rolling their trucks all the time. So they got calls from some of their competitors who didn't have the cash, who couldn't pay the oil companies, couldn't grow their company. They were subcontracting to some of their competitors. So again, you got to look at the area, you got to look at the environment, you got to look at the competition, all those types of things. So you know, each customer is a little different, each referral source is a little bit different. You got to kind of figure out where their hot buttons are.
Wow, that's great. That is really good stuff. We got about three or four minutes left. So if you wouldn't mind, let's talk about kind of what's happening right now. You just gave a great example of some business that you're working on and saving local jobs, which is great. And also you mentioned that you're going to be attending a business trade show. What else, is there going on right now that you might want to talk about and that's hot and exciting?
Yeah, I guess one of the things in Maine, the economy, there's a large contribution to our economy from tourist trade. So things slow down always a little bit in the winter. Didn't really slow down a whole lot this last winter. I did very, very well. But recently, in the last, say, 45 days, business has picked up tremendously. And again, it's the $500,000, the million, $2, $3 million companies all throughout the state. The bankers know that Interface has a good quality product. We have a very good reputation, so we're getting a lot more phone calls. We're probably funding two new clients this week. I got a client that I hadn't funded in about 18 months called up yesterday. And you know, first question is, am I still a client? Well, of course you are. I'm going to have to do some new due diligence and get new financials, but of course they're still a client, so that paperwork is at least signed off. But we'll probably fund that client this week also. At this trade show tomorrow, I'll probably, if this trade show is similar to the one that I just had about 6 weeks ago, I'll probably be meeting with anywhere between 25 and 30 bankers, most of which I already know. Some new ones, though, and you know, that becomes very valuable to me. Then you got to start following up with all those new leads that you have.
Sure.
My business is, one of the advantages that Interface has is, except for medical, we don't do medical, but we really sell to all industries, construction, manufacturing, trucking, service companies, you name it. You know, if there's a commercial receivable, we can do business with you.
Right.
So that's a big advantage. It's a big advantage to your bankers because the banker, no matter who their customer is, they can say, well, I know Interface probably does this. Now, we've got to do our due diligence. After we finish our due diligence, make sure that the company's been paying its taxes and all that kind of stuff. Generally speaking, we can do business with most of the companies up here in Maine, and by doing something like that, our referral sources are very happy. You know, if they have a trucking company, they'll know I'm going to be talking to them, and there's a possibility I can help fund them. If it's a service company, same thing. If it's a construction company, the same thing. So we do business with everybody, and that's a huge advantage that Interface brings to this market.
That's great. Well, it looks like we're just about out of time. Any last words you want to share with folks about your IFG franchise, or anything else? The fishing report in Maine.
Well, I tell you, my wife and I made a decision when we turned 60, get out of corporate America, move up to Maine. It was the best decision we ever made. We love where we are. We both love what we're doing now with Interface. It was an excellent decision that we made, you know, on the company. You know, if I look at myself 5 years from now, I'm sure I'll be doing the exact same thing. We make a great return on investment in our invested capital. We don't have to work full time. As I mentioned before, if it's a Tuesday and the weather's nice, we may go out and play golf. I'm probably putting in 2 to 3 days a week right now. The other days I'm walking my dog or fishing or going sailing. So it's a great company from that standpoint. I love the people I work with. You're working with professionals. You're working with the bankers, with company owners. It's not a physically stressful job, unless you consider driving stressful, but I don't consider driving stressful.
That's so good.
I can easily see myself for the next 5 years, even 10 years, continuing to do this. You make very good money. You meet great people. You have a good time. Why not keep doing it?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time, Tim. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And once again, we're here with the Interface Financial Group's Tim Roach, and we've been talking about his life and his business. Thanks for joining us, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You have a great day also.
Thanks a lot.